Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Conversations About Light. I'm joined here again with Steve and Charlotte. How are we going, guys?
So good.
Yeah, doing very well.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we're continuing our way through the book of James in the series Gospel Living. Had some great conversations so far, and I'm sure and have no doubt that those will continue.
No pressure.
No pressure. I'm not the only one having conversations here. Just generally, even in our community.
And yeah.
Table communities have been like really fruitful as well in cultivating those conversations, which has been cool. But yeah, before we dive into today's reading, which Charlotte, I believe you're going to do for us again, which I'm so thankful for because I always mess up the reading. It could be like one verse and I butcher it. Yeah, but you do an excellent job, Charlotte, so yeah, thank you.
You can read real good.
Oh, thanks, Caleb. Thanks, Stephen.
All right, so if you had to...
Oh, yeah.
Question, yeah. If you had to be a stuntman in the circus, what would be your act? Or stuntwoman?
I think doing the motorbikes.
Doing the motorbikes.
Yeah, they got motorbikes that go around in a sphere.
Oh, the ball thing? And yeah. Then you go like...
Yeah, that's just wild.
That is wild. All right, yeah, cool.
Like, is this a hypothetical situation?
No, it's real.
It's real?
Yeah.
So like...
This is going to happen.
I can't assume that I'm going to be good at it. That's what I want to understand.
You made it to the circus. You're pretty good.
Okay, I'm good. Yeah. All right, I'm just checking.
It might be an off day, so I don't know. It can't account for those factors.
Okay, well, like, I think juggling is underrated. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Like
I went to Fringe recently, and there was somebody there who was juggling, like, six things at one time. Oh. I know. And I was like, cool, it is definitely cool to be up high and be able to do flips and stuff. But also, like... The skill and the coordination, and his face was very relaxed, no tension.
Wow.
Didn't even look like he was concentrating that hard and yet juggling six things.
Wow. So are you going to be juggling like tissues or chainsaws? Like, what are we talking
Sounds
here?
Like a metaphor for her life. Like, I'm a mother, I'm going to be juggling a few things, but I just want this calm serenity.
Yeah, that's right. You're just looking at his face all the time like, oh man, I want what he has.
Piece. I want to juggle.
I want to be able to juggle.
Right. He's really mastered it.
No, but seriously, do you have a object that you'd like to juggle?
Well, chainsaws is quite dramatic.
That's awesome.
Tissues is like the very other end. I don't know, maybe some apples.
I love it.
But how could you hold them all? I don't know. Okay, I've got to think through this.
Remember, we said you don't have to actually do it, so you could just like say anything.
Chainsaws it is.
Nice. Chainsaws and apples. Cool. I can't wait to see your guys act.
Yeah.
All right, so... Let's jump into today's reading.
This reading is from the book of James, CSB, chapter 2, and we're going from verses 1 up to 13. My brothers and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and a poor person dressed in filthy clothes also comes in, if you look with favor on the one wearing the fine clothes and say, oh, sit here in a good place, and yet you say to the poor person, stand over there or sit here on the floor by my footstool, haven't you made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Yet you have dishonored the poor. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into court? Don't they blaspheme the good name that was invoked over you? Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. However, if you show favoritism and commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors, for whoever keeps the entire law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it all. For For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. So if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you're a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Awesome. Thanks for that. What's some things we're noticing in the scripture?
Yeah, I think to me it makes me think of like the early church days. I'm imagining a scene where in the early church they're like struggling to make ends meet. They don't really know what's going on, if Jesus is coming back soon or what's happening and how far they should spread the message and how to care for everyone, the orphans and widows. And so they see somebody wealthy come into church and they're like, oh, this might be our chance, you know?
A big break.
This might be our big break. Yeah. This might be somebody sent by God to come into the church and to like, with the gift of making money, you know,
yeah.
Bless us. So let's just check that he has a super good time here and doesn't go down the road, or like many roads as the case it may have been back then, to the nearest other church and then give them the money. Mm. So that's kind of the scene I'm picturing. I'm picturing them really treating him well. At the same time, this other man comes in and he clearly looks like he does not have anything to share. Mm. He wouldn't be able to be contributing anything towards them. So they choose the rich man.
Yeah. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you say that, it made me think of Corinthians when Paul's talking about the body and how beautiful God brings people together in the unity in Christ. And he never mentions any part of the body being wealthy. You know, it's like, you know, people are bringing prophecy and strength and endurance and prayerfulness and preaching and teaching and all these things. And, you know, he doesn't say, oh, yeah, and there's going to be a finger and it's going to have a ring on it. It's going to have that gold ring. Just an observation. Yeah, it's not God never indicates that it's something we should be on the lookout for or something that we encourage each other in. Is wealth, but also when you're saying that, it made me think how guilty we all are of this, and not only in a personal sense, but in the world we look at now, we often elevate like famous people, and you think, oh man, well, what if that person became a Christian? Then people would really believe, right. You know, as if their name is greater than Jesus's name, right?
Right.
Yeah. There's
like
no
like Kanye and Justin Bieber.
Yeah, that's right. And then it's like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And they're like, oh man, that was terrible. As if we have a PR team, you know?
Right.
It's just ridiculous. No one's going to come to faith because Justin Bieber's a Christian, right? It's the power of the Holy Spirit through the word, through the gospel, that people are transformed.
Yeah.
It's not a fad and it's not likes on Instagram. It's so, so different and so much more profound.
Yeah.
And so if we think about what we're after, you know, when we reach for those things, we're just dimming the light of Christ a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I actually just remembered a preach that Adam Meredith gave at King's Cross one time. And one line he said was, the unity of Christ is magnified by the diversity of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's so true. You know, we're not trying to accumulate an image or a person. We're trying to accumulate the light of Christ.
Yeah. And just going back to what you said as well, Steve, I think about the picture of the body that Paul paints in Corinthians, it's so true. There's no like recognition of like there's a ring on the finger, so treat that finger with extra dignity. But it's that's like right. We're all made in the image of God. We all bear his like handiwork, his thumbprint, his DNA. In each one of us, and that's what gives us dignity. It's not the amount of wealth that we have or the amount of fame or Instagram likes or whatever that is. It's like, no, we are valued because we are made in the image of God. So then, like, if someone walks into our doors, the first question shouldn't be, how can this person, what can we get from this person? Mm. but it should be like, oh, how can God use me to show this person his love?
Yeah. Yeah. We're the ones that are giving.
Right.
We're not looking to receive anything, right? Someone walks in and it's like, we have the good news of Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you someone walks in and you're hoping to get something from them, like you both walk out poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's from that place of fullness. Like you've received everything. It's from that place of fullness that you do anything else. Like you're not lacking anything. So why would you seek after somebody?
Yeah. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you talking about Corinthians and it saying, oh, you don't go after this person or show them favor or, you know, the person with the gold ring. And it talks about the more modest parts. And I actually pulled it up because I wanted to make sure I got it right. But 1 Corinthians 12:23, and those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unrespectable parts are treated with great respect, which our respectable parts do not need. Mm-hmm. So it's actually it actually does address this, but in the exact opposite light. Yeah. It's saying those that come in and are tired, we hold, you know, and those who are broken, we hold together. And we do all that through the gospel.
Yeah. And the beauty of that, right, is that the broken person could be rich or the broken person could be like uber famous. Or it could be someone whose life is in shambles in terms of they've got nowhere to stay. Like it applies to everyone.
Yeah. The gospel does not discriminate.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, yeah, and I think this is super interesting. So verses 5, where it talks about, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Mm. It's like, yeah, I was chatting recently, I think, with Anna about like how sometimes the people who are less well off in this world, oh yeah, that's it, we were worrying about the world and how like it's not worrying like in a godly sense. You know? It was like, it was totally holy.
We were just laying your worries down at God's feet. That's so right. It's all right.
Yeah. Not anxious or anything. Yeah, totally cool. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool.
No, we were just assessing. I think somebody said, oh, like the Chinese church is super fast growing.
Yeah.
We were assessing that the wealthier parts of the world seem to be letting go of Christianity the quickest.
Mm.
They'd realize they had no need for him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's those poorer countries and those poorer people that they know that they have nothing left, nothing to give to God, nothing that they could be like glorified for in and of themselves. So they have so much more freedom to just go, I just love God. Like mm-hmm. by comparison to something else in my life, I just want God. Mm. Whereas, yeah, there are those warnings throughout the Bible that are saying like, you know, wealth, you can't serve two masters and sort of really warnings about that because it's so hard to serve God and it's so hard to have money as well and feel that security that money brings.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have a lot to learn from people who don't have as much wealth because they're truly free to worship.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good point. What's some other things that we're noticing? It's a big portion of scripture compared to like we've been chewing bite sizes. Yeah. but yeah, what's some other things we're noticing in it? Like, I don't want to jump all the way to the end, but that is something that I noticed, like how it says, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
I guess the point of that to say like what we're judged by is the law of freedom? That's how we should judge others? I don't know, like we shouldn't be harsher judges than God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He thinks different than he would.
Yeah, and I don't know, I just noticed there's like a lightness to that. Like, so speak and so act as those who are being judged under the law of liberty. Like, if you're being judged mm-hmm. harshly, yeah. how do you think you'll speak and act to others?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, if your father has ruled with an iron fist, mm-hmm. compared to a loving, gentle, gracious father who judges with freedom or gives, like, I think, so when I read that, I was like, it just seems so, like, pleasant. There's a,
yeah,
Like we've been judged. We don't deserve the judgment we've received.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we've received freedom in that judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do we, like, that should give us freedom to love others, to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I have a tiny example of this. but I, when I first, when I first was dating Stephen, ooh, and prior to that, actually, this
you're
is a
dating
bit of a
Stephen prior to that.
Oh, sorry. I'm just
gonna
go ahead
back
and
too
start
far. Pull it in.
Yeah, pull it in. But I used to be very like judgmental of others in my brain and out loud, and I used to say things about people that, like, as soon as it would come to my head, I'd be like, "Oh, I can't believe that she would, like, you know, wear that," or, you know,
yeah,
stuff like that. As soon as it came to my head, super judgmental. And then from dating Stephen, he would like. I think he just said that, like, it really hurts my heart when you speak about people like that. And I kind of was like a bit gobsmacked, like, oh, okay. I'm judging others very harshly. And so I stopped kind of doing that, and very grateful for, like, Stephen noticing that in me. And one of the things that I found when I stopped being judgmental towards others and assessing them on unfair calls and I didn't even know them, whatever, would just be judgmental. One of the consequences of me stopping that is that I felt incredibly free.
Wow.
So mm-hmm. I was more confident in, like, almost every single area of my life, like at work, anytime I was public speaking, anything like that, getting dressed in the morning, my insecurities significantly decreased because I was setting a standard, like I was judging others.
Wow.
And so I was judging myself by those same standards. So I love what you're saying, Caleb, about, yeah, we're being judged by the law of freedom, like of liberty. So freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So going into this next week, I mean, we could carry on this conversation. We've just sort of scraped the surface, but we're strapped for time. Going into this next week, what's an encouragement or a thought or even a question that you can give our community to take as they go about their everyday lives?
Yeah, I was just really struck by what the two of you said, Charlotte's testimony and Caleb, when you mentioned the father and or your father and how he might rule over you and how that shapes how you may act. And the question I would ask is, do you know your father? And do you know that he loves you and he rules over you with grace and mercy? And can you be freed by that?